The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, Drive Curry, family owned, 65 plus years in Tampa, serving the community. They're always trying to help as best they can. They've got an exclusive offer right now, an additional $1,000 off, just to help out all the people suffering and everyone in our community, BillCurryFord.com. They've got other offers as well. GM Sean Sullivan has the Ira Kaufman discount for you. He's got loaner vehicles. He will come and pick you up, whether that's for service or for sales. They'll do whatever they can to accommodate you and give you guidance in these difficult times with insurance claims and everything that's going on. BillCurryFord.com, family-owned, makes a difference. And we wish everyone safety through Hurricane Milton. I know we've got listeners here across the Tampa Bay area and beyond. Everybody, please stay safe. And if you have a disaster at your home, wherever you're listening to this in Florida, call Florida's Elite Restoration. They're based in the Tampa Bay area, but they service far beyond that. They've been doing incredible work since Hurricane Helene. And if you've got roof damage, flooding, storm damage of any kind, call them 24/7 before you call your insurance company, because you need that guidance so you don't get ripped off. And they're going to evaluate your property and show you how to make those steps forward so you get your property restored, the money that's coming to you. And you need an offensive coordinator in these times. Owner Josh Martin has $500 back for anybody who mentions Joe Bucks Fan when they first call. And if you need their services, you'll have money for your deductible or just cash back if you're just having something repaired outside of insurance. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
You got a cover. Cushions are for a freaking couch. Not for a plan for a secondary. Boy, what a spread they put out. Beautiful. I'm throwing up right now. I'm throwing up. That is a piss poor job.
All right. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. End of the world edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. No laughing matter, Sage. But you're here in the flesh. Lee DeCamper's here in the flesh. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, before we get into this, and of course, you know, all your work at JoeBucksFan.com is presented by Bill Curry Ford, where they have approved employee pricing for verified storm damage on vehicles. So if you need a new vehicle, that's where you go. You can get the Ira Kaufman Podcast discount on top of that. Reach out to Sean Sullivan, our great friend, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, and our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, BillCurryFord.com. And as we heard in our little intro there, Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, they are prepared. I've been in touch with owner Josh Martin.
He might have to hire a few extra people right now.
You want to hear something wild that they have to do, Ira? If you think about this, and I don't think Josh is going to be upset by me revealing this, but you know, they were servicing people after Hurricane Helene, and because of the current threat, they had to go back to people, pull out some of their equipment to make sure it's secure. And then they'll be back after this storm to take care of them further. So incredible undertaking 24/7 for them to be ready to service everybody across the Tampa Bay area, north, south, and beyond.
Unfortunately, they're going to be very busy in the next months ahead.
Very sad, but they are ready to help you 24/7. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Now more than ever, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Prepare now. Check them out now. So if you need them for any kind of storm damage, roof blown off,
Don't forget the Sage discount, too, Steve.
Don't forget the Sage discount there. What is the Sage discount, Ira?
You drop a name and you get a break. That's
Five bills.
Five bills. I just mentioned Ira Kaufman, a Joe Bucks fan, when you first call. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Ira, look, we got a football game Sunday, no matter what happens in Tampa and the surrounding areas. So we're excited about that. A little relief is coming in the form of football in the wake of what's coming here. But I'll ask you this first. The Saints played last night against your beloved Chiefs. The Bucs are playing the Saints, New Orleans, Sunday, 1 o'clock game. Your thoughts out of what you saw?
Well, I'm happy that the Saints now are operating on a short week.
Two and three.
Instead of the Bucs. The Bucs have extra time to plan. I'm sure Bowles and Cone watched that game very intently. They're going to watch it again about seven more times to figure out how to attack this team and how this team tries to attack you. And, of course, we got the elephant in the room by the name of Derek Carr. We don't know what's going on. I'll say this, Lee. I've been watching sports for 70 years. An oblique injury? That's nothing to be trifled with.
Agreed.
That's an injury that takes you out for 3 or 4 weeks. It does.
Generally, yeah.
And especially off a short week. And somebody asked Carr after the game, how you doing? He said, not good. Not good.
When is the last time you heard a quarterback say that after a game?
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good. Now, look, the Bucs will prepare like Carr's going to play, and they should. But That backup had never thrown an NFL pass, right, Lee? Had never thrown an NFL pass.
Yeah, last night on Monday Night Football, Joe Buck said that he did. I looked it up, Pro Football Reference there. He has yet to attempt a pass prior to last night.
I didn't think the Saints looked impressive at all, Lee, on either side of the ball. I thought Mahomes was one step ahead of the defense the whole night. The Chiefs ran the ball well on the Saints, which is a little bit of a surprise. Kareem Hunt is starting to resurrect his career, Lee. Unbelievable. These pickups are incredible by this Brett Veach. He knows what he's doing. Not everything he does is great, but he's very sharp. Very sharp.
I know what Buck fans are going to say. I sort of sympathize with them, and I don't know the answer. But you know what Bucks fans were saying last night after watching that? You know what, right?
Why don't we have this guy?
Thank you.
I don't go with that, Lee.
No?
In fact, I'm fairly encouraged about the Bucks' run game.
Ooh.
I thought it was pretty darn good in Atlanta. Not in the second half. All the wheels came off in the second half. Steve, if not for, you know, three or four Mayfield scrambles, they basically did nothing offensively in the second half.
I'm with you, Ari. The Bucks' run game is 13th in the league in yards per carry.
We said, can they get in the middle of the pack?
And we had, you know, we were praying they could get middle of the pack. They're 20th in total yards. I'm a yards per carry guy because
what are they? Four.
Handoff. What are you running for?
4.1. What are they?
I'll double check. I think they're at 4.5 right now.
That's healthy.
So yeah, I'm encouraged. You did. If I had thought before the season they were going to do this with Schooley playing most of the time and figuring out how to use Bucky Irving and all that, and no blocking tight end, I'm ecstatic with the run game. I know Lee's not.
No, I'm just, it's not impressive. I'm sorry. Not what I call impressive. Ira, when's the last time the Bucks had a running back that ran for 90 yards? Forget 100, 90.
But Rashad White had a 56-yarder, Lee.
A run. We've been waiting for that how many years?
Irving's had two of them.
He's had a couple of nice runs, yeah, but I mean, do you actually think defensive coordinators are laying awake at night?
No.
Exactly.
No.
That's what I'm getting at.
Lee, I dare say, as the week goes on and we get the injury reports on whether Carr is practicing, and I'd be shocked if early in the week he's practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, if the reports are what I think it's going to be with this oblique injury, I think the Bucks will be favored for Sunday. Whereas normally with Carr, I think the Bucks would have been underdogs.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's be honest. They should have won the other night. And I think that's going to be in the mind of Vegas. The Vegas men, the sharps, as Steve Dumig used to say.
Stevie, let me throw this at you, Stevie, about this pass defense. And Lee's written some very good stories about putting in perspective just how lousy the Bucks pass defense was Thursday night. And I saw it up close and personal.
Yeah, you were there.
Steve, without being a little too harsh, Jamel Dean, he had a bunch of tackles, 11, 12 tackles. I don't care about that. That's far from the first thing I'm going to judge a cornerback on. You got to cover. And, Steve, at this point, and I don't want to pick on just one guy, boy, do they need Antoine Winfield back. Boy, do they need him back. And two, Jamel Dean is what he is, Lee. He's just what he is. He looks like just a guy. Jamel Dean, he's just a guy.
Yeah, I guess.
And, Steve, I'm not sure Bowles trusts these guys to play tighter coverage.
I agree with that.
Steve, these are easy throws. They're way too easy for the opposition.
Steve wrote something, and I'm not saying he's wrong. You know, you guys were up on the high perch in the corner. I love the press box in Atlanta. Steve noticed that Dean was giving these huge cushions to guys, yet Zion McCollum wasn't. If Jamel Dean isn't supposed to be doing that, why the hell doesn't Bowles pull him off the field? Like, look at man, either start doing what I tell you to do, or you just sit on a bench. As Bob and I used to say, there is no greater motivator in the world than the ass on the bench.
Ass on the bench.
I can only assume that's what Bowles wants him to do. Because if that wasn't the case, wouldn't Bowles pull him?
The cushions drive me crazy, Steve.
Well, the fans...
Cushions are for a freaking couch. not for a plan for a secondary.
The fans see it on the All-22, and it's obviously even obvious on TV. I mean, you can freeze it and see it all day long. Bowles has said before, these guys have leeway for their own discretion within the coverage scheme. I don't like it, but it'll change when Bowles decides to say what Lee just said. You do it or you come out. I'm sure he talks about that a little bit or he dances around it, but it is what it is. I still stuck on this running game. You know, I see Bucky Irving. I was just looking it up. I think he's 7th or 8th in yards per carry among the full-time running backs in the league.
I'm not going to kill him for the fumble, Lee.
He is dangerous. I think people are worried. If you were a defensive coordinator, you wouldn't, every time Bucky Irving touches the ball, good things happen.
I would be more worried about him than I would Rashad White.
Yeah.
However, outside of the fumble, where was this such improved running game when they needed it?
Second half was lousy. It was just lousy.
Yeah, second half it was lousy. Absolutely, yeah.
I blame that more on whoever ordered the Code Turtle. That's the greatest name Steve came up with
in years. That's pretty good, Steve.
The Code Turtle.
Code Turtle. Well, hopefully it won't happen again. I think the Bucks, if they make that decision, like you said, Ira, a long time ago, if they start to lose, which we hope doesn't happen, then you may start to see more carries for Rashad White, excuse me, for Bucky Irving. But until there's a massive problem, they're going to keep that balance going. But they're more dangerous when they hand the ball to Irving. So if they want to get more dangerous.
I got a new little problem on the list of things. This is number 8 out of 10.
Leakage?
No, no. All of a sudden, there's an issue with punter. We got
a
problem.
All of a sudden.
That punt, after the Levante David interception and the Barton penalty, that punt stunk.
Yeah.
It took one bounce, boom, right in the end zone. You know what you want on that punt? You want a hang time. Drop it in the 20.
I was going to say coffin corner.
Coffin corner,
well,
even better.
Let's be real. How many times have you watched that punt?
About 4.
All right. You watch that punt. You see.
And it was a line drive, Steve. It was a line drive.
That's what freaked me out.
You see, I'm quite sure. This is where the guy was standing at like the 4-yard line and bounced and went in the end zone. If you watch that punt, you're going to see, I believe it's Tavier Thomas. He's there with plenty of time to get there and even turn around and catch
the
ball.
He's the guy that blocked the field goal, right?
He was there with enough time to catch the football.
Which would have made it a hell of a punt.
And what did he do? He got confused, and he went at the guy who was lined up to catch the punt, and it bounced it right next to them and went in.
So he lost track of the ball flight.
I don't know what he did, but he was there with enough time to make a play on the ball. He didn't do it.
I thought it was more of a line drive punt.
I thought so, too, but I wasn't there. You guys were there.
But as Lee would say, kick it out of bounds at the 10-yard line. Yeah, that skill is supposed to be out there. Now, we didn't address it, Ira, because it's punter, and, you know, it's not too sexy. But if you're bringing it up on your podcast, we're going to talk about it.
Now, that punt was critical.
Well, here's what Todd Bowles had to say. You know, this was only at JoeBucksFan.com because nobody else seemed interested in writing about it. But here's what Bowles had to say on Camarda. He explained in one of the weirdest things I've heard in a while. He said that on his radio show, well, Jake has been in kind of a slump a little bit. I'm quoting, we're trying to work with him to get out of it. When Jake works on some things, I think Jake will be back stronger than ever. In the meantime, Trenton is going to play a little bit. What is there? Punter therapy going on?
I'm switching to Camarda in the New Orleans game. I'm sorry.
What is that?
The guy's proved that he can be a good punter in this league. He's in a little slump. I'm going back to Camarda, Lee.
Is it a little slump? Didn't they bring this guy in, the new punter? Did they bring him in training camp? So that was kind of a telltale sign right there.
Camarda wasn't great last year. Not last year.
No, he's young, obviously. That was his second year.
And they haven't invested in him.
He looked like the greatest punter in Bucks history.
Work with him.
A problem-ish last year, you know, not as good. And now this year, they have a new special teams guy. So this is the second guy he's been working with. What are they doing about this?
Yeah,
what do you think's really going on at One Buck?
I think they're stunned that Camarda's regressed. As a rookie, Lee, he was damn good.
Well, I know the powers that be at One Buck loved him.
Yeah.
Loved him.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Great athlete. He even made some nice tackles.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone south a little bit, Lee, but he's young enough. Work with him and get his confidence back.
I forgot all about what Steve said, and he's right on. Could this new special teams coach have screwed him up somehow?
I hope not.
I'll say this real quick. I told this to Nelson Louise, media relations vice president of the Bucks. He freaked out when I told him this, and this is going to freak out some listeners.
Don't tell me you asked for more ice cream in the press box.
I don't need to ask for more. I need to ask for less. You know who he reminds me of? He looks just like a spitting image. Camarda, Yakov Stalin.
That's an unbelievable line by you, Lee.
It is. Go look up Yakov Stalin.
90% of our listeners just said, who?
Yeah, Joe Stalin's
and
son.
And the other, you know, and they're all going to Google saying, what the hell are you talking about, the Kemper?
So, Sage, here's a good question for you, and I wonder if this troubles you or not. In the wake of Thursday night's game, so Lee brought up the stat previously that Kirk Cousins threw for more yards in the pocket in one game than anybody in, it was 8 years, excuse me, this is the 9th season that Next Gen Stats has been charting that. So understandable to a degree because he doesn't move. So here's another one for you. This one is different because it really applies to all quarterbacks. ESPN, who's been tracking yards passing between the yard line numbers, they've been doing it for 19 years. That game was the worst game by a defense allowing yards between the numbers passing since 2010 and the third worst since they've been tracking. Now, the rules have changed a bit since 2010. That's why it's almost more interesting. But what does that tell you?
It almost flips the accent on the safeties and the inside linebackers. Britt had a brutal game. Brutal. Whitehead wasn't playing very well before he went out. He whiffed on a few tackles after catches. Besides the soft coverage, Lee, the tackling was terrible over the middle of the field. And Steve brought up a great point, and I want to amplify this about what you wrote about Cousins throwing from the pocket. That is a piss-poor job of forcing Cousins out of the pocket. That's what it tells me. Not how great Cousins was in the pocket. Get him on the move. They never did it, Lee. The inside pressure, very poor. Very poor.
No outside pressure outside of backups.
And we're not slapping Logan Hall around, obviously.
Yeah, hell of a game. Maybe his best game.
Terrible pressure up the middle. Terrible.
I'm a broken record. I know the Bucks are just fed up with me pounding the drum, but you know what? It's not up to me. It's up to the people at $1. It's not up to me. Would you wake Bowles up? How is it, Ira, that the good teams with good defenses always have an edge rusher? Where would the Chiefs be without Chris Jones? The last time the Bucks won a Super Bowl, they had two edge rushers. I don't know how else to put it. You got to have an edge rush. Yeah, I love Bowles to death. I think he's a great guy. And so it pains me to say this, but I think he screws these guys up. You can't tell me that Jason Light drafted Chris Braswell and Joe Tryon-Shoyinka to be in pass coverage. They didn't get drafted in the first and second round because of their pass coverage skills. They got drafted there because they get to the quarterback. What's Bowles doing? So he's got to do this, he's got to do that. No, have him do what the freak he was drafted for, and that's rush the damn passer. You might win some games like the other night. You think I'm angry now? You ought to see me a couple of days ago. Maybe the storms got me calmed down and depressed. But, I mean, I was fit to be tied Thursday night, Friday. I mean, I think one of my stories I wrote, I'm still angry. It's like 2 days later.
Steve, do all these concerns go away if Kalijah Kancey's back on the field or putting too much pressure on Kancey?
That would have helped, certainly.
Well, you specifically asked about the pressure up the middle. The concerns don't go away, Ira, and there's more to this, but Bowles has got to figure out some different blitzes, and I understand that he doesn't have Antoine Winfield to blitz.
And they don't have Devin White anymore.
He essentially doesn't have a safety to blitz. They don't have a blitzer to match Devin White. And, you know, Vita Vea can only play two-thirds of the snaps, which is okay. And they're not getting enough. Find a way, man.
And Tyke Smith, he hasn't made an impact yet as a blitzer.
I got to say this real quick, Ira. The famous Three Stooges scene, Disorder in the Court, when they're swearing in Curly, you know, put down that hat. Would you get rid? And at one point, the bailiff yells at Curly, would you put down that hat? That's me screaming at the Bucks. Wouldn't you get an edge rush?
I wish I would have had a video of you watching that game Thursday night, Lee. I sat there with my mouth open, mostly because I was shoving in Cuban sandwiches. However,
in Atlanta?
Boy, what a spread they put out. Beautiful. Steve, I can't get over that. I can't really remember one snap. How many times did Cousins drop back? 58, 62? I forgot the number.
62 times, yeah.
I can't remember one when he was on the run to his left or to his right. I mean, that's remarkable. That's inexcusable. He can't run when he's got good legs.
One good thing is, I guess, the Saints don't have much of an edge rush. That's a positive going into Sunday. But it's going to be a massive fail by the front office if they go through this season and the edge rushers can't produce at all. And it's too early to go there, but you know, we've got time. But they've got to, if Yaya, Tryon-Shoyinka,
and Braswell.
I don't even count
Braswell.
Because I said before the season, I never saw anything on film that this guy could rush the passer. And I'm sorry, I don't count certain things that happen in a preseason game when they're playing, you know, the Panera manager.
And Nelson's a decent backup.
But he'll
Can
learn.
Can I have an orange scone?
But he'll learn. He'll learn. I'm not down on the guy. I just didn't see it yet. But if they can't get, I'll put a number, 16 sacks from those three guys, then there's a serious screw-up that went on.
Steve, is it fair to say that it's not the front office, but it's the development?
No, it's the front office. It's obviously both, because it's always both. But, yeah, it's the front office. If you evaluated these three guys, I'm not talking one guy, if you evaluated these three guys who have all been on the team multiple years, right?
So, and you would have thrown Logan Hall in the mix, but he had a good game.
Well, we're just talking edge rushers. We're just talking edge rushers. Comes down to Tryon-Shoyinka is a fourth-year guy. Anthony Nelson is a sixth-year guy. And, you know, Yayo was there last year. So if you're going to put all these experienced players on the field and they can't produce, that's the front office saying, hey, Todd, I know you like these guys. You're developing them, but they're not good enough. So, yeah, I do put it on the front office because they'd be veterans.
You're right. It's been a chronic problem, Lee, since JPP has left and losing the Dombakon.
And Shaq.
And Shaq. You make the great point, Lee, over the years. They're having trouble developing these guys. Now, Diaby looked like the exception coming off last year.
Yes and no.
But you also said now there's tape on Diaby, and let's see if he has some counter moves and progresses.
That's what I wanted, only because his numbers went down when he got to be a starter. And that, to me, kind of suggested there was tape out
of him. So they game plan him.
You know, I've asked people, but they're not going to say, yeah, there's a book out on him. They're not going to say that. But I've asked, and here's what I can say. And, you know, Steve obviously blames the front office. I'm not saying they're innocent in this. Name an edge rusher Todd Bowles has developed in his years.
Well,
that's why I'm kind of thinking maybe it's Bowles. Because, again, I don't think the front office has drafted these guys high because of their pass coverage. I think Bowles screws them up.
But, Lee, the question really is some of these guys over the years that Light has drafted and didn't work out in Tampa, have they gone anywhere else and developed?
You're correct.
No, so that's one area you can look at. Now, Steve, I got one for you.
Well, let me just clarify.
All right.
I can't judge it till the end because, to me, a week 12 and 14 and 16 sack or five in those three games is just as good as a week three or two or one.
I still think they can end up with 40 sacks. Like,
yeah,
I do.
I have to see what it ends up with at the end of the year.
And I think Kansas is going to be a big difference.
I think so, too. Steve, let me throw you a nice little softball here. This is like a meatball platter here.
buffet?
What's the difference between 4-2 or 3-3 going into the teeth of the Bucs schedule?
Well, whether it's the teeth or not is up for debate.
And by the way, the 49ers don't look that great.
The 49ers, what do you mean not look? They look terrible. What do you mean not look that? They're 2-3.
I don't know what's going on with that defense.
Lee's melting down. The Bucs are 3-2. They're 2-3, Ira.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're terrible.
Yeah.
And the division is bad.
Injuries.
And the division is bad that they're in.
But Baltimore's a beast. You know, they're tough.
There's only five teams, Ira, with a better record than the Bucs. Does that surprise you?
It does.
They should have been only two teams better.
I still think Detroit's a better team. I mean, that's just me.
Okay.
The Bucs won, and they deserve to win in Ford Field. But I think overall, I think Detroit's a better team.
You think the Bucs are a better team than Atlanta?
Yes.
Lee?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but they gave a game away.
They did. You got to go 4-2. If Derek Carr doesn't play, they lose to that guy.
Hafner, I can't remember.
That would be just absolute insanity.
And the Saints did not look good. They didn't look good Monday night.
It can't happen.
I can't kill the Saints defense because it's Mahomes. I mean, he's a magician. I will say this, for what it's worth, may not be worth anything, maybe worth something. Again, Hafner, I know he went to Fresno State Derek Carr went. Having said that, Greg Cosell, who most people in the league respect, loves this kid. When he was coming out of college, loved him. He understood he had limitations because he's a short guy.
But he's totally inexperienced.
But you know what? Daniel Jones was totally inexperienced, and he rifled the Bowles defense. It's not like Bowles rolls over for rookie quarterbacks. So. Or inexperienced quarterback.
Taylor Heinicke did a good job against the Bucs.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you've got to win that game. You have to win that game.
And by the way, you know, I didn't even need any more convincing, but guys, Cam Jordan, he's not the same player. He's just not.
He's done.
He was an animal.
He's done. Last year, I believe, you know, Cam Jordan was shooting off his mouth at the Bucs, and I looked it up. Joe Tryon had better numbers than Cam Jordan.
What are we expecting from Sterling Shepard? Is he now a factor in this offense?
He's healthy. And he seems to understand the offense. Remember, Trey Palmer opening day, he had, what, two penalties there? He didn't really know where he was supposed to be. No issue for Shepard. He's been there for a long time.
He's
getting open, and he's a quality player if he's healthy. Now, he's one of these guys that you expect to, you know, to get hurt, unfortunately. You know, by week 9, if Shepard's got, you know, a calf and something else, and, you know, no one would be surprised, but I think while he's healthy, it makes him super dangerous.
What's going on with Gedeke, Lee? What's going on?
Pretty nasty concussion to the point that I think the Bucs got to look in the offseason about a right tackle. When's the last time you heard of a right tackle missing 4 games in a row? That's serious.
I don't hear much from Bowles that he's on the brink of coming back, Steve.
Well, it's a concussion, right? So I don't know if you've dealt with that.
They're not allowed to talk about
it. Bottom line is you just simply have to pass the tests. So he's passed the tests enough to practice. He's been in practice. He's been out there We haven't heard any report from, like, the Adam Schefters of the world or Rappaport that he's going to see some specialist out of the state. But if he can't hit those marks, he's not coming back, no matter how good he feels. So it's scary. And like Lee said, three games, yes, four games, very rare. And you go beyond that, you have to start thinking a serious yeah. situation.
Here's about the offensive line for you, Ira. The Bucs are the worst team in the league at pressures.
Allowing pressure.
This is bad and good. Now, I'm not a pressures guy. I think that's a BS stat. Pressures don't affect good
quarterbacks. You're a sack man.
Get him on the ground. That ends the play. That kills the drive. Pressures, eh. At any rate.
Dead last.
But the percentage of sacks they allow for those pressures is actually pretty good.
You're talking about protection or on
protection.
Defense?
Protection.
Oh, protection.
Protection. They're getting given up a ton of pressures. But of all those pressures, there's only like four teams giving up more sacks.
Well, that could be a little bit of a testimony to Mayfield's pocket presence, too, Lee.
I was thinking that, and I was also thinking maybe they're holding onto their blocks just long enough that they keep these guys away from Mayfield.
I'm very surprised that the Bucs are last in the league in allowing pressures against Mayfield. That surprises me. Lee, I'm a little stunned at that in terms of the pressures that Mayfield's been facing. I don't look at the first five games that like he's been under siege. Now, look, he has had to escape. Mm-hmm. So he could have four or five more sacks on his resume. But I don't think protection's been horrible. Steve, that surprises me a little bit.
Well, I hate the pressure stat because, and I'm
very
not trying
subjective.
To put you on,
it is very
I'm not
subjective.
Trying to put you on the spot, Ira, but I'll ask you right here. What is a pressure? Define it for me.
Thank you. 2 feet away? Is it 2 yards away? Is it 2 inches away?
Well, forget about that. Is it an eighth of a second away? A half a second away? You know, it's goofy. Hits, I like. I'm a quarterback hits guy.
Because sacks we like.
Because the quarter, yeah. while the quarterback can complete a pass on a hit, it stays with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Mentally,
yes.
Sometimes physically.
Yes.
And
sometimes they feel pressure when it's not even there when
right.
they've been hit.
Exactly.
Hit.
So yeah. I'm a hits guy. Pressures, you know, like Lee said, it. You know, nobody says, oh, well, we pressured Tom Brady so well, but, you know, we lost 35-7. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Does pressures bother Mahomes?
And, Lee, we always have to go back to our default position. They're 3-2.
I'm ecstatic.
The sky's not falling, Lee.
I'm happy.
The sky's
I'm
falling.
Angry.
But you're pissed off that they lost a game that they should have won.
Because you can't get it back. You can't get it
yeah,
back.
Yeah, you know, you can't get it back. And every year there's going to be a couple of these. So
now, last year,
you know,
the game in Tampa against Atlanta, we felt the same way. They should have won that game.
They should have, but they didn't give that game away like they did the other
yeah,
night.
Yeah, they didn't play well in any aspect of the game in that game, in my opinion. The other night, they played really well offensively. You can't score 24 in the first half on the road. They scored on their first two drives, Ira, yeah. not their first drive. Yeah. Back-to-back weeks, they scored two drives. It was bad coaching. It's not like Mayfield hit a slump in that game. You know, right now, Patrick Mahomes has them undefeated, the Chiefs. He's got six touchdowns
and six interceptions.
Mayfield's got 11-2, and Mayfield has produced the most touchdowns in the NFL as a quarterback if you combine throwing touchdowns and running touchdowns. How much better do you want the guy to play? He is dominating the league in those key categories.
The Chiefs' defense has been better than the Buck defense, no question about it.
Here's the only consolation I can come away with that loss. You only score 6 points in the second half, you're going to be lucky to beat the Panthers. You got to do better than
now,
that.
Now, to Lee's point, Steve, Evans was chewing him up in the first half. Okay, so Raheem and his coaches make an adjustment, and we're going to pay more attention. So now the Buck offense has to make the adjustment, Steve. Find some other targets. If they're rotating all the coverage to Evans, Mayfield had, 49 yards?
It's stupid.
Wait, 49 yards of passing.
Ira, you know what? I've been happy and sitting with you guys. Now I'm getting mad again. I feel like it's Friday morning.
Well, you're mad because you got a storm coming after you.
No, because no matter how you slice it, and I'm talking conservatively, no matter what you want to say, the Bucs have two of the top 15 receivers in the NFL. I mean, use them. You can't be scoring 6 points and not using them in the second half.
I can only think of one player off the top of my head. Just off the top of my head. I can only think of one player off the top of my head who's more clutch than Chris Godwin. That'd be Travis Kelce. When the Bucs needed the first down to go to the Super Bowl, whose number did they call?
14.
Bingo. When the Bucs beat Dallas the next year to open a season, who did Brady target to go downfield? 14. Time after time after time, Godwin's been clutch.
Didn't he even do an end-around like to secure the Green Bay playoff game?
You turn to one of the worst running offenses in the league. Sorry, Steve. You turn to one of the worst running offenses in the league. When you got a clutch guy like that, that's malpractice, man.
I still can't get over
one first down.
I can't get over how the game didn't end after Levante David's interception. I just don't understand it.
Bad coaching, bad execution.
Turtle.
Code turtle.
And you know, Gerald McCoy made one interesting point.
When he's not talking about Spider-Man.
And I didn't.
He's got to get off that. Come on.
I didn't mention this in the last podcast, but he said that crunch time is about fundamentals. And he was talking about Graham Barton. When you're in a crunch time, got to get it situation, you have to dial in 100% on your fundamentals so you don't make a holding mistake like that. And it happened. It's a rookie who learns from it. But I don't think the team, even from a coaching staff, was dialed in on their fundamentals. So, because again, and we've talked about this, but damn it, that decision to hand the ball off to Rashad White, your worst option, at least his worst running game, I have to define it as worst option in the offense.
Which down on that final drive?
First down. You hand off to Rashad White. That is just not your fundamentals of what works best for your football team.
Negligence.
Yeah,
and it's also probably what Atlanta's expecting.
Who knows what Atlanta's expecting?
I don't know. I actually would think Atlanta would not be expecting that because did they crowd the box?
They did. They had eight guys in the box.
Okay.
Eight guys in the box.
Which is rare
sure.
for White.
So they were there in the Bucs to throw the ball. They're in the Bucs to throw the ball.
Yeah, understandably so.
Because they figured the Bucs want to bleed the clock. That's the number one priority.
Well, that is a – Bowles always talks about that.
So, Steve, ultimately, Lee, the final two possessions for the Bucs deep in Atlanta territory – A fumble and a penalty.
And critical loss of yardage to knock yourself out of field goal range. Two worst things that could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, so hopefully it's a one-off.
They would have been better off if Mayfield took three knees.
I'm not worried about Barton long range, Lee. I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, I've said this before. I don't know if Steve agrees with me. He probably doesn't. But I'm not going to kill a rookie because rookies play like rookies because they're rookies. A coach should factor that in. There's going to be a mistake percentage there because the guy's a rookie.
Yeah, obviously, just don't make it the same mistake twice. So, yeah, I'm not going to kill him at all. I think he's doing fine. However, and we're not going to go down this road.
Same with Bucky Irving.
But listeners to the Best in Class podcast from Sean Sullivan, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, they know that Barton, although he was the top-rated center, he is not close to being the top-performing rookie center in the National Football League right now.
Don't tell me it's that guy from the Steelers.
We're not going to get into it, Ira. I don't want to go down that road.
You wouldn't be wrong, though.
After the storm, we'll get into that.
All right.
But I don't have a bad feeling about Barton.
How do you think Mike Evans felt after that game? He was targeted twice after halftime. He caught one ball. Lee was no factor. After scoring two touchdowns, yeah, 10 minutes into the game.
I'm going to say this, and I know it's not fair, but I feel it, and I believe it, and to a degree. There's a point where you hit in a situation like that where you've got what we witnessed on Thursday night when the Bucs had that critical series of downs. If Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are more in diva-like and say, whenever that is, maybe it's in the moment or maybe it's before the game or maybe it's at halftime, and or in the coach's ear saying, give me the damn ball.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to win this thing for us. Get me the ball. Don't F around.
That's a great point.
If he was more like that, maybe that first down call doesn't happen. I'm not criticizing him, but I think it's a reality.
That's a great point.
Very interesting, Steve. Very interesting.
Well, there goes the Bowles alarm right there.
Yeah. I didn't see Deion Sanders in a Falcon uniform. Are we that worried about A.J. Terrell shutting down Mike Evans? I mean,
I just referenced a quote from Nick Saban. You get the ball in your best player's hands
in
crucial
Lee,
situations.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, Steve, you saw my column the other day when I was quoting guys that I got exclusively in the locker room, mm-hmm. David, Cotton, Malk, and I think it was David who said, give Atlanta credit. They got the ball to their playmakers when it counted. Now, I don't think he meant that as a direct shot against the Buck offense.
I don't think so either.
But draw your own conclusions, Steve. And I think Godwin only had two targets, and Evans had two targets in the second half.
It was negligence.
Hopefully I'll still be able to draw. All my pens and pencils won't be flying around my house in this horrible storm, Hurricane Milton. Everybody's
I'm telling you, Josh from Florida's Elite, he might have to hire a dozen new people in the next couple of weeks.
Well, there might be people looking for work, too.
Florida's Elite.
That's right.
You got to say the last name. Florida's Elite Restoration. He might hire you, Ira. You know, this storm could destroy JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters. You might be restoring
homes. He could entertain his workers while they're...
and Sean Sullivan's, you know, he got hit again in St. Pete Beach. And this is before, you know, Milton comes along.
I suspect there's going to be inexpensive beach property in coming days.
Yeah.
Sage, I got to ask you a question. In that game against Atlanta, and it's hopefully something that we see that changes against the Saints, how many deep shots did the Bucks take to get that flag?
Outstanding points.
How many?
Stevie. Outstanding.
How many? Zero?
Might have been zero.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't get it, Lee. I just don't get it.
Now, here's one for you, Ira, and one of the many stat geeks at Traffic Twitter. This is before Thursday night's game. Said that the Bucks were last in the league in throwing long passes.
I'm throwing up right now. I'm throwing up.
Can you please call Bruce Arians?
I hate this.
And I've documented each week. You know, I put up the Baker Mayfield passing chart. There's always what, Steve? Three to five passes beyond 20 yards that Mayfield tries.
You're right. I think they had three completions of 20 yards or more, and none of them were like 45. None of them. And the Falcons had seven.
Now, I don't know if that's because of Cone. I don't know if that's because there's no running game, so teams aren't worried, and they put guys back there. I don't know if they're that worried about Evans and Godwin. I don't know what the answer is, but any team that's throwing that short, it's like, what's going on?
How many times am I going to preach this, Steve? It's not so much the completions. Get the freaking flags. It's a 45-yard flag.
We can't blame the running game because the Bucks' running game is better than half the league, and way more than half the league throws deep.
Is it Schooley? They're worried about Schooley?
I don't know.
I mean, just a little bit ago, we were talking about all the pressures.
All right,
is that why?
I got homework for you. Bruce Arians will take your call. He'll think you're dying in the
storm.
And
he had a birthday last week.
And he had a birthday.
Well, there you go.
And you ask him, Bruce, this team doesn't throw deep. No risk it, no biscuit. There's nothing to eat. There's no food anymore.
Loosen up the coverage, Lee. Loosen it up a little bit.
The only thing I can think of, and again, I referenced pressures a little while ago. Is it because they don't think Mayfield's got enough time to set back there
Maybe.
And wait for a route to develop?
Good chance.
Didn't I ask Mayfield that last week, Lee? I thought I did.
But he's going to give a
politically
correct answer.
He said at times he didn't think he had enough time at times. But
which
I don't even see the play called, you know, to go that way. I just don't, and it's driving me crazy.
All right, Ira, look, I'll ask you this before we get out of here, and we eagerly await Wednesday, the Buccaneers' injury report. We didn't mention, but, you know, I know the fans
They left today, right?
They left Tuesday to head up to New Orleans, and they'll be practicing Wednesday, and we'll see what those injuries really are. If Whitehead's groin, you know, I have a feeling he's going to be out, but it's just a gut feeling. Hopefully he can play.
Maybe Winfield comes back, Steve. Maybe.
You know, Jason Light said on the radio network prior to kickoff, you had a very good feeling, you know, the key guys would be back very, very soon. So he volunteered that. Maybe
especially with some extra time, Lee, you know, to get into the – you got two or three extra days. That's the flip side of being on a short week.
What's more important, and this may – on face value, it sounds ridiculous, but what's more important, Getke getting back or Winfield?
Winfield. I think Winfield.
I would have said Getteke earlier.
Yeah.
You know, weeks ago I did. We at least brought this up.
We didn't talk about Schooley that much.
But, you know, at this point, Schooley has not been he's no longer an extreme liability, and they're scoring 30 points a game. So if you're scoring 30 points a game, I can't say the right tackle is the problem. I got to go with the playmakers on defense, which is atrocious.
Communication seems to be a big problem. Bowles keeps talking about it. Is that an excuse, Lee? Is that taking the onus off the players?
When lousy Lovie Smith was around, and by the way, I heard this from a Bears fan, so I can't take credit for it. It was more fun for Bucks fans when Lehman Bennett and Lovie Smith were ordered to evacuate.
Oh, why did you mention Lehman Bennett, Lee? You're killing me with that.
But having said that, when Lovie Smith was around, there really was a communication issue because they had guys calling plays in the huddle that could not enunciate. They didn't understand the plays, so they were freelancing. So
was that Quan Alexander?
Yeah. It was Quan Alexander. I've been holding that for years.
Steve, nobody could understand what Quan Alexander was saying. That's
we
a
talked
problem.
About it on the podcast. We named him on the podcast.
So back then, that communication, or actually, it was Mike Smith, not Lovie Smith. It, equally bad.
Oh, Mike Smith, who I saw Thursday night. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it wipes away all the bad history, doesn't it? He's nice guy.
First thing he said to me, where's the Kemper? No.
That could be an over grotesquely oversimplification, but fans don't want to hear that crap. They don't want to hear, oh, it's been, no, you're better off saying, well, the guy's got a sprained ankle and he can't do this or he can't. They don't want to hear communication. And I know with Mike Smith, that was a euphemism for, no, they don't understand the SOB.
Yeah. That's a catch-all explanation.
It's annoying. Like, you know, Bowles, I think he was on one of his post-game things. He said, well, you know, when Jordan went out of the game, we lost some communication. Come on, stop.
One of these days, I'm going to grow a pair. And when Bowles says that, I'm like, what language was he speaking?
Yeah.
All right. So, Ira, I got a surprise for you. And the fans are going to enjoy this very much. And,
another party? Another birthday party?
No, not another birthday party. Oh, well, sure. Next year. Next year, why not? But, Sage, the surprise, before we get to it, BillCurryFord.com. Understand that they are so committed to helping folks who have lost their vehicles in the hurricane. Sean Sullivan mentioned that during Hurricane Helene, on his podcast, 55,000 vehicles around Tampa Bay were lost.
Yeah. Wow.
Unfortunately, that's probably going to be worse. So they're there for you with discounts. Check it out, BillCurryFord.com. But if you need a vehicle, period, they've got tremendous offers there, and Sean will take great care of you. You can reach out to him on the website, BillCurryFord.com, service as well.
I'll say this. I can assure you, Ford vehicles will not blow up in flames once they get wet.
That's right. That's right.
And also, Ira, as we said, the key to Florida's Elite Restoration, go to their website, floridaselite.com, and call them 24/7 before you call your insurance company so they can get out there, give you that free evaluation, and be your offensive coordinator if you have your roof partially damaged, flooding, whatever your issues are. Just call them. It's free. Mention Ira, and they are going to take incredible care of you. And you can see their 5-star Google reviews, which are still all 5-star, Ira, after the last storm, which I think is very impressive. All right.
They're fresh.
Well, they're all across the board. That's what that means. All right, you ready for your surprise?
I think so.
All right. So I asked fans for questions for the Sage, and I'm going to rapid fire these, and I'm just going to get out of your way. Lee can chime in if he wants.
What is this called, the bonus round over here, Stevie?
We're just going to do a rapid fire bonus round. I'm going to get to everybody and just fire them away. And
you're
going to
say the name of the people that put the question in, Stevie?
I will. I haven't even read them, so I'm just going to.
Wow.
Anything goes right here. You ready?
All right.
All right. Is Joe flying Ira to safety during the hurricane? We need to keep the Sage safe. Your response?
My response is that I just got put up in a 4-star Atlanta hotel.
FEMA did that?
Steve spared no expense. He didn't put me on Frontier Airlines. And
Spirit.
No Spirit, no Frontier. Got to give Steve credit. First class all the way. And now, Steve, I'm ready to take the rest of the Buck road trips the rest of the year. What do you say?
Okay, so we're not flying you to safety. Are you going to answer the guy's question?
You're not flying me to safety. We're hunkered down just like Lee. And we're going to ride this out.
Related, I'm supposed to go to New Orleans Friday, provided there's an airport. We had some comments, Steve, on JoeBucksFan.com. Evidently, people think we fly with the team because I read a couple comments like, well, you're going to be in New Orleans. No, I'm going to be
here. Do
you
have a reservation for the gumbo shop on Friday?
Like, don't need reservations.
Don't need it.
All right, Ira.
We'll be there.
What key injured player can change the trajectory of the Bucks season most? Don't give me two. This man, Pat, wants one. And that last question was from Bucks for Life. Looks like his name is Ken.
Patrick, I don't think this is a tough one.
How do you know his name's Patrick?
How
sexist of you, Ira.
What? Oh, you mean
could be Patricia?
Yeah,
I don't know who. I don't know who
Patricia.
It is.
This one's easy. It's Winfield. It's Winfield. He sets the tone for the entire defense. He affects every metric you can imagine, and he would infuse that secondary with more confidence. Get Winfield back on this field, and this defense is going to look different.
All right, Tim Hawthorne. He wants rumors, Ira.
Ooh.
Ira, the linebacker situation since Dennis got hurt has been really bad. Levante desperately needs someone that can help him out. What type of rumors are you hearing about Tampa reaching out to other teams to go make a trade to bring in some help?
Well, Timothy, I'm calling him Timothy. I always got the names thing. I think they're sticking with what they got. I do. Maybe to give Russell a few more snaps. Britt's got to raise his game. He's supposed to be a run rapper. I don't think he tackled very well either. And we saw his coverage. I think they're sticking with what they got. I don't think after 5 weeks they're going to make a change and bring in another linebacker that's going to get a lot of snaps. Tim, you might not want to hear it, but I think they're going to work to get Britt up to speed and stick with what they got.
What about Mr. Eagle?
No. No.
What are you so scared of with Devin
White?
It's
not going to happen.
If he comes in here and acts like an ass, they cut him. What's the problem?
They don't want him.
I know
they don't want him, but they might
need him.
And I think there's a lot more that happened behind the scenes that's going to come out in 4 years when I corral Todd Bowles and maybe get a couple of bottles of water in him, because he probably doesn't drink.
No, he doesn't drink.
He's a problem, and they're not bringing in a problem.
What did Light tell you the other night?
They love this locker room. They're not taking any chances.
You talked to Light on the field the other night. What did he tell you about White?
He said next question.
Okay, so old phlegmatic Judd says, about that linebacker thing, what would the Sage do about covering up for Britt playing pass defense? You have a one thing, Ira, that you'd say you would do, try to implement, or what?
I think Britt is what he is, Lee. Yeah. He's not all of a sudden
going to
be a coverage linebacker.
How would you cover up, though? How would you cover up for him? Would you just pull him, or would you...
I'd pull him, maybe after first down. Mm. Unless it's second and two. I'd pull him and bring in an extra defensive back.
He'd be the first down linebacker in the history of the NFL.
I'd pull him, Lee, and put in another DB.
All right, really so, Ira, I'm going to answer this for JC.
Thank you.
And
JC Allen?
No, he asks you, are there any external MLB upgrades via trade or free agency worth looking at? And you've already said you think the Bucks are going to stick with what they got. Is there anyone you have on your mind? But I don't think so.
Well, Devontae Adams would always be nice, but that's not a glaring need. Yeah,
you know, middle linebacker?
No, not a middle linebacker. But get some of these guys back, and I think we're having a different conversation. And they're 3-2. Let's not go crazy. They're 3-2.
One of the more interesting things, Ira, that was glossed over, Todd Bowles said about Servasio Dennis's injury. He said he was hurt before the season. I don't know if you caught that, but he said he was hurt before the season. He's had injuries we've known about, and it seemed like it was the same shoulder thing. So that makes the depth issue here and the mis-evaluation of KJ Britt all the more interesting. We'll see where that goes.
I don't think he's meeting their expectations.
Obviously not.
And we'll see if Dennis comes back.
I think it's very ominous what Bowles has been saying about Dennis. It sounds like he's out for the year.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, generally Bowles didn't say anything about injuries. He's like, this is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It sounds like it's one of those things where he needs surgery but could play through it and address it at the end of the year, which is always messy as hell. All right, two more for you, Ira. This defense has been on a roller coaster.
Wait a minute, who did this one?
Love My Bucks, right?
Love My Bucks.
This defense has been on a roller coaster so far this season. One game they look great, the next they look bottom tier. Can we see consistency and major improvement with Kancey and Winfield back? Are we going to get the consistency, Ira?
I think what's been inconsistent is the scheme. I think the scheme's inconsistent.
That's fair.
What did I say after the Detroit game, Lee? It was the first thing I said.
Where's my lunch?
They contested Goff's passes. There was always a buck around. Now, it might be a great pass and a great catch. I can live with that, and so can you. I can't live with a guy that there's no buck around him for 10 yards. And by the way, and I know he threw for 509 yards, Lee, I can't believe I'm saying this. It could have been a little worse. When Mooney dropped that ball.
That's true.
When Mooney dropped that ball, which was right in his numbers, I think it was McCullum might have been the closest buck.
Like 20 yards away.
Like 20 yards away. That would have been 535 yards.
But what is who holds the record? Is Bob Waterfield?
I think Norm Van Brocklin.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he's still 554.
With the Rams.
554.
Yeah, I know you went to middle school with him. All right. So,
didn't Goff do that over 500 against the Bucks?
Well,
it
was 517. And, okay, but we're going to get ugly here. There have been 25 500-yard passing games in NFL history, 104 years. Three of those Todd Bowles has been involved with on the wrong side. One was when he was interim coach, secondary coach of the Dolphins.
So three out of 25.
Three out of 25.
I'm Todd good, Bowles. Matt. That's 12%.
Yep.
That's 12%.
That's pretty bad. Here's what you were talking about, the defense. Again, I like Todd Bowles. I don't think he's a bad coach, but the fact that they are this wildly inconsistent, I can't call him a good coach. Good coaches don't have that wildly inconsistent defenses, especially when you get three 500-yard gains racked up on you.
The reader's point is well taken. Wildly inconsistent on defense.
That's my...
Yeah, that was Lee. Okay. All right, last one, Ira. Before you get the last question, you want to say goodbye to Bucks fans? You want to wish them safety?
No, I want them to wish me safety. I'm a little concerned. Everybody's jittery, Lee.
I'm depressed.
You're in the middle of nowhere, and you're jittery.
Well, I'm depressed more than anything.
I'm worried about the wind, and I'm worried about power outages. So when we meet again, Stevie, I'll have a couple of stories to tell.
I hope
I'm not calling Josh from Florida's.
I hope you guys don't end up on my couch watching the game. That would be awful.
You have a generator, Steve? I'll be right down.
Tell me about Cosmo and these storms.
Well, Cosmo's, he's got his ears perked up. He knows something's going on, mostly because he saw my wife throw the furniture in the patio into the pool.
Come on, Ira. He saw the 10 pounds of roast beef you bought to prepare for the storm.
He saw a block of ice. He can't eat the ice, Lee.
Can't lick it.
Is he going to go out in the rain and the wind? I'm a little concerned about him doing his business tomorrow.
What's more concerned is you going out with him.
Yeah. Hey. All right, Steve, what do you got?
All right, last question. All right, everybody stay safe out there on behalf of Lee and I. What's the grammar there? I don't even know.
On behalf of Ira and I.
Lee and me. Lee and me.
All right. Well, you know what? We just wish everybody be smart, be safe, and hang in there. Don't panic. Panic, and it doesn't help anybody.
That's right.
And, of course, if you have a problem, call Florida's Elite Restoration. Feel comfort knowing that they're there for you 24-7. All right. This is from Samuel. I'm not going to pronounce his last name. Not sure what it is.
Could be Samantha.
No, it says Samuel.
All right.
It says Samuel. As someone who is a Bucks fan because of Mike Alstott, why can't he get any traction for the Hall of Fame? He was clearly the best fullback for half a decade, Super Bowl champ, four-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler. It's always confused me.
You answered your own question, Sam. You mentioned fullback. No fullback is ever getting in anymore. It's not going to happen. Those days are over. Darryl Johnston from those great
Moose.
Cowboys. Moose, great blocker. Block for Emmitt Smith. Can't get a sniff.
He couldn't produce anything like Alstott.
Alstott, he's not talked about. I bring his name up to fellow voters. They go, who? What? It's not going to happen. But for a good chunk of time for Alstott's career, he was the best player in the game at what he did.
Who do you have more problems with when you bring their names up to try to get them in? What player has the most resistance or indifference between these three guys? Jimmy Giles, Simeon Rice, Mike Alstott.
I'd say Jimmy Giles. They didn't see him play because he ended about in the mid-80s. They didn't see him play, most of these people. His numbers are not Hall of Fame worthy. Why? Well, part of it was Doug Williams left in a contract dispute. I think if Williams was there another 5 years, he might have Hall of Fame numbers. He averaged 15, 16 yards a catch. That's big for a tight end. Big man who could move. He was the buck threat. It was a run-centric team under John McKay.
Not Kevin House.
But when I mention his name, which I do, and he's now a senior candidate, not a modern day, and he just didn't make the top 60 from a screening committee that has nothing to do with the normal Hall of Fame voters. So supposedly these people are objective, and they looked at Jimmy Giles, and they felt he was short. Giles would be the one out of those three. Simeon, he's got a little bit of traction, but not a lot. And as the years go by, Lee, he's going to keep dropping down that sack table. And there's the guys ahead of him, like Jared Allen. Usually, you know, he's making the top 15 finalists, but he's still waiting for his time.
Yeah.
And, you know, here comes Terrell Suggs. He's coming in this year. There's a guy named Leslie O'Neal who nobody knows. He played for the Chargers. he's got more sacks than Simeon. So it's going to be tough for Simeon. It's going to be tough.
Last follow-up. I read this over the weekend. The last running back to be elected to the Hall of Fame will be Derrick Henry.
Whoa. Peterson's going to get in, as he should.
Yeah,
Adrian
he's
Peterson.
Younger. He's older.
Yeah.
But this guy said he predicted Derrick Henry will be your last running back elected to the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's interesting, Lee. And I'm going to throw a name out that hasn't been on this podcast yet. And Steve, 90% of our readers and listeners say, who? I got a name, Lee. I got a name. And he's playing for Boise State. Lee, I mentioned this guy.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And his offensive coordinator happens to be Dirk Cutter. And his name is Ashton Jonte. And you just said he's got Barry Sanders' numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, Sanders is the all-time college leader.
He's the standard.
This guy's going crazy. He only played the first half last week, Lee. He had a buck 80. And now somebody says, well, who do they play? It's not a grueling schedule.
No.
They lost to Oregon, who's a good team. And they lost in a shootout. And Jonte had his numbers against Oregon. So, Lee, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, he's going to be in the league in 2-3 years, and then we'll see what he does. But your point's well taken. After Derrick Henry, who's next?
That's it.
Who's next?
Drought.
Could be Bucky Irving.
I mean, obviously, like, these guys have to produce. So if McCaffrey produces for a few more years, he's going to get a lot of run. And you've got...
Now he's getting up in years, isn't he, McCaffrey?
If this Kamara revival is legit and he can produce another couple of years, he's going to be an interesting name. But Henry's the only slam dunk, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, Ira, look, we'll see you later in the week. We're going to be confident.
We are confident, and we're going to do this again later in the week, and all the jitters will be gone, Lee.